What's the most popular these days, Ryan? The games, the war games, or the sports games?
It depends whether you're talking consoles like the Xbox or the PlayStation, things like that, or online. But the online games, the computer games, the big ones are always tend to be the massively multiplayer online games, you know, like EverQuest or World of Warcraft. I mean, World of Warcraft is kind of the 6,000-pound gorilla right now in that arena. They got about 12 million people who play that regularly around the world.
12 million.
Wow. Yeah, it's a lot. And then, you know, the other games, the console games, the thing about those is they change really quick. So, and some games are only on certain consoles. So, like, when the new Halo game comes out, that's the big one for a while. And then, you know, like, Assassin's Creed just came out, so now that's a big one, and that's on multiple systems. So it kind of changes a lot. You know, sometimes it's a first-person shooter. Sometimes it's an adventure game. It kind of varies a little bit there.
What's the age bracket of these video game users? You know, I mentioned that they're talking about 5 million kids, and that was back in 2007, could be addicted to this. Where do we stand in terms of roughly total numbers of people, adults and kids, younger people, who are playing video games on a regular basis?
It's hard to say because there's kind of a stigma about this. So there's a lot of gaming that goes on that people don't know about. But if you just go off sales figures, the numbers are staggering. I mean, well, here, give me a good example. A game like Farmville, you know, kind of this sort of silly farming simulation that's like a little, you know, something to do when you're playing Facebook or something like that and you want a little downtime. 42 million people play that every day, this little farming simulation game called Farmville.
42 million?
42 million, and over 120 people have downloaded the game, so that means that's why people have at least tried it.
Now, do you have to pay, like, every month or every moment you play the game? How do they make money on this?
Well, those games on the social networking sites, those almost always tend to be free, but there's incentives to pay real money. You can do better in some of those games if you put a little bit of dollars in, buy credits for the game, or various things like that. And they also do it to sell advertising, the way that a lot of websites work. You know, it's free to get the service or the products, but, you know, they want the traffic because then they can, you know, milk the advertisers. So it's a combination of ways those can make money.
Let's talk for a little bit this half hour of technology and what's out there, what's available. And explain to us, Ryan, the difference between, you know, the social gaming and how they do that via computer and then the boxes, the consoles.
Well, sure. I mean, the consoles, it's always tricky because, you know, they get outdated after about every 3 years. There's always a new one coming out, you know. I mean, Nintendo had the Nintendo, the NES, and then they had the Super Nintendo and something else. So you're always kind of trying to keep up with the technological Joneses, so to speak. And then there's the different systems. You know, there's you know, PlayStation has theirs, you know, Xbox has theirs. And then you've got three or four, and some games have exclusive contracts. So if you want to play Halo, you've got to have, you know, Xbox. You can't play it on the other systems. So some of them have these exclusive contracts. And, you know, there's all, the games are $60 a piece, a lot of the new ones, you know. And
wow.
You get bored of them after a while. So you're buying a new one and another new one and another new one. So a lot of people, I think, are getting a little tired of the console games and are moving over to a lot of the computer games because the amount of play hours you can get off the computer games is greater. So you could buy a DVD game or a game that's online. You might get 300 play hours versus a game that you get maybe 20 or 40 hours out of, you know, off a disc that you get for, like, you know, the PS3 or something. Then you have to buy a new one. It's kind of a very expensive cycle that it's tough for some people to keep up with.
Okay, now, of course, with the consoles, they hook it up to their big TVs or their flat screens. Can you do the same with the games that you get off your computer? Can you hook it up to your flat screen?
Absolutely, yeah. Whether you got the S-video cables or now you got the HDMI, so, I mean, all the new ones. I mean, you've even got new ones. I got a friend who just bought a 60-inch TV the other day. He says it's got Bluetooth capable. So, I mean, he can go from his laptop with no cables and hook up there. And you can actually just also surf the internet on the TV itself without even any sort of other thing. It hooks up these days. So the technology it's there.
So you prefer getting the video games via computer now?
I think most people do. Yeah, I think most gamers do. I think you get more bang for your buck or more entertainment value for your buck. I think that's the way a lot of people are going.
Okay, now tell me about Unplugged. What had you write it?
Well, it's sort of my own trying to attempt to understand my story. You know, it's something that I needed to do for myself, and it was a hard book to write because even though I knew I had a problem, even though I'd kind of gotten past it in my own life, I still had so many levels of self-denial in it that I actually had to write the book three different times. I had to throw out, gosh, almost 150,000 words because I kept trying to tell different stories because I didn't want to tell this story because this was a story that was too hard to tell for me. You know what I mean?
And it was probably private, right?
It was all those things, too. And, you know, this is the sort of thing that I have no problem with, you know, writing things that are only for myself. You know, as a writing teacher, I have this one of the most freeing things when I talk to students is I say, you don't have to share this. You can just write whatever. If you think it's crap, you can just throw it out. You can keep it. You never have to share it. Sometimes that's what it takes to get past something. And so I was willing to do that. But then I realized at some point that no one else was writing this story. And video game addiction is not a new phenomenon. I mean, when Space Invaders came out on the coin-operated stand-up arcade game, it actually created a nationwide coin shortage in Japan. This is 20-some years ago.
Jeez.
So, I mean, that just goes to show the type of pull that games have had. We just haven't been paying attention to it for a long time. And it's just got to the point where I realized I don't think anyone was ever going to stand up and tell their story. And what that would do is perpetuate this idea that the people who have gaming issues are these 17-year-old kind of fat, you know, teenagers with pimples and no friends. They lurk around in their parents' basements in the dark and just play games alone. And that's not it. The average gamer is 35 and has been gaming for 13 years. But no one's standing up and saying, this is my story. This is how serious it is. I mean, if I go to the nearest 7-Eleven or something, I just start a conversation with someone and I say, hey, by the way, you know, I actually am a video game addict. They would probably laugh. You know, if I said I'm an alcoholic, they wouldn't laugh.
They would not laugh or whatever.
I'm a sex addict or something like this. They would absolutely not. They take it very seriously. But for some reason, in this country particularly, we just don't take it very seriously. And so the reason that I published my book was that I wanted to start some important conversations and get people thinking about their relationship to the digital world. Also, too, just to let people know that there are a lot of other people's stories out there who will mirror their own. And mine is just one of them. And I interview some other people, too. So even though it's a memoir, I've got at least a dozen other people's stories in the back of it, in the index and the appendices and, you know, woven throughout. So it's not just my story. It's a lot of people's stories, but they're all eerily similar.
Well, and when we open up phone lines later tonight, Ryan, I'm sure we'll get some stories of how video games have affected other individuals as well. Age bracket generally, men or teenage guys as opposed to women, and then what's the age bracket?
Well, 40% of gamers are women, so it's getting closer and closer to even. You know, they're making games. The game makers are realizing that women want to play games, just different types of games, so they're trying to meet those needs. So pretty soon it's going to be 50-50, but it seems to me the big gamers right now are the people who are probably 18 to 40, right in that range. But that's not to say that they don't make games for other people, too. I mean, the way game makers are working now, because as you pointed out earlier, it is a huge bottom-line, big-dollar industry, and they want to capitalize on that. They're going to switch over to the McDonald's philosophy of marketing, which is cradle to grave. We want you from the day you're born to the day you die. So they're making games for seniors. They're making games for children.
Well, and I guess, you know, people who are bored would like to play. People who get into it like to play. People who may, for some reason it's a rainy day. What a better way than to either stay home, watch some videos, listen to radio, or play a video game, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I would probably sell so many more copies if I just said video games are evil, and I would just start naming some of the head of the corporations that make these games and say, they should be shot. They're terrible people. Or we should have a video game burning outside of one of them, like the old disco record burnings or something.
Right.
I'd probably be on all sorts of TV shows and stuff. But the honest truth is there's nothing wrong with video games. There's nothing wrong with a lot of things in our lives if it's done with a sense of responsibility and common sense about it.